there's moonbeams in your elbows, and there's rivers in your head. And I wanna see you forever, babe, forever. Don't take me back in time now, but there's nothing for me there.
Well, how do you like that? A brand new song to open up On the Wing podcast as we get rolling in 2025. That new song is called Forever. Yeah, it's a kick-ass tune, but it's also got the right name to help us kick off our podcast at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. It's a new song off of the new album by Trample by Turtles and Dead Man Winter, collaborative album. Called Always Here, Always Now, and a sincere thank you to my buddy Dave Simonette and the band Trample by Turtles for allowing us to use this song forever as we kick off On the Wing podcast heading into 2025. Welcome to On the Wing podcast, fueled by Purina Pro Plan. As many listeners know, I had a 1.5-year-old pup, German Shorthair, big surprise. Her name was Izzy, named Iserman was her official name, named after Steve Iserman, my hockey hero as a youngster. Well, at 1.5 years old, Izzy passed away in my arms after running into a hidden tree in northern Wisconsin when we were out grouse hunting. That tree caught her at the base of the neck and ruptured her carotid artery. Worst day of my life. From that hunt forward, though, all of my bird dogs have worn a protective hunting vest, all variety of brands. And in fact, it's the question that I get asked most often, you know, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's, hey, what kind of vest do you wear? What does your dog wear? And generally, I've got a couple of vests in rotation for my dogs, and they would get a lot of questions about those vests. What works? Where the you know, a lot of people have had vests that rub against the dog's underarms or different places. So I get a lot of questions, and today I'm real excited to be joined by a husband and wife duo. They've come over to the Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever office, Mark and Laura Flom. From Wisconsin. Are you Packer fans?
No, we are Vikings fans.
Are you guys, are you native Minnesotans?
I grew up in Mottamina, Minnesota. Okay,
well, there we go. You're right in the backyard. I don't know. I say Wisconsin, I wonder about Packers instantly.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Well, we do have Wisconsin listeners. So. they're joined, Mark and Laura are joining me at the office, and they have designed a dog vest of their own to keep their own bird dogs and our listeners' bird dogs safe. And they've brought this new vest. And on your shirt, the Tyro hunting dog vest, Tyro dog vests to the marketplace. We met just a few months ago at Game Fair.
Yes.
I was buying one of your vests, and I don't remember if you recognized me or saw my name on a credit card. No. You're like, oh, Bob. Yeah,
you were walking right by, and I said, hey, Bob, like I knew who you were. But it was good meeting you.
I bought a vest for my pup to try out, and we arranged for you to come and join me, and here we are to talk about Tyro dog vest. So thank you for making time to visit over here. We'll start with Mark. Tell us a little bit about who you are and lead us up to, we don't have to talk about the vest yet. I just want to get kind of both of your backgrounds.
Perfect. Yeah. So my name is Mark Flom. Actually, a big inspiration for the Tyro dog vest was Bob's story. Had a lot of similar challenges along the way with some of our pups, and we can touch on some of that later. But like I said, I grew up in Mottamedi, Minnesota. Go Zephyrs. A couple state championships under our belt lately. But
did you play hockey?
I did.
Oh, so. Were you on a state championship team?
I was not. We were not that good when I was growing up. So, yeah, no. You know, just a few miles up the road is where I grew up.
essentially the Pheasants Forever backyard.
Yeah, yeah, right in the backyard there. So, yeah, so started at Matamidi, ended up going to school at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So from there, I studied mechanical engineering at Marquette University, and did a lot of things on that. You know, I thought I wanted to go into the design realm, but ended up going into a manufacturing role. That was a lot better for me, you know, more hands-on. I don't enjoy sitting at a computer all day, so getting out on a shop floor and working with heavy equipment was a big calling to me, and got my first job and kind of never looked back. So starting out in injection molding world, kind of random, but a world that not a lot of people think about, but that was a...
Injection molding, what does that mean?
So making plastic parts, so just like the lid of our Yeti mugs here, those kinds of components can be made.
Gotcha.
Residential pumps of all different kinds, so well pumps and all kinds of stuff, real boring stuff. But from there, transferred back to Anoka, Minnesota, and ended up working at Envent. It was formerly Pentair. And actually shared a lunchroom with your Federal Premium guys.
Wow.
Yeah, so I worked there for many years, learned a lot there, and then ended up getting a really good opportunity to go down to Red Wing Shoes. So that's kind of where a lot of my background started, that this dog vest thing was actually a possibility. So kind of ran the operations at their primary plant down in Red Wing, Minnesota. So that was
Wow, you got all kinds of national sponsored connections.
Yeah, so that was a
Have you ever made dog food?
No, not yet. Never say never though, huh? Yeah, so Red Wing Shoes was an awesome opportunity. Great brand, great Minnesota brand. Extremely proud to have been a part of that company, but love took me a different direction. So
Laura.
Yeah, enter Laura. So I Laura and I met shortly before I started at Red Wing, and she, you know, I think we'd been dating 6 months, and I said, oh, by the way, I'm taking a job down in Red Wing, Minnesota. She goes, what? So, yeah, I worked there for almost 2 years, and then ended up saying, you know, this is for real, and ended up moving up to Clam Falls, Wisconsin, where we're at today, and started working for an outdoor sporting goods company. They made all kinds of ice fishing gear and hunting products. So that's where I learned a lot of more the retail side of the business. So, you know, looking back, all this kind of stuff led me down a path that fit very well with what we're doing today. So very proud of that. And now today, you know, the vest thing right now is a side gig back at a large corporate company doing a lot of like industrial automation for the data center and AI markets. So that's been a lot of fun. Really nice to get to work for a big company up in a small rural area. So get the best of both worlds.
And where are you from originally, Laura?
Yeah, I'm from Cambridge, Minnesota. So that's just about an hour north of the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Grew up on a hobby farm, had pigs, chickens, goats, horses. So I definitely had the farm aspect. And little did I know that I would be hunting pheasants, you know, 10 years later, when I would see them all over the place. So it's kind of cool to see that circle come around.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I work in the medical field. I work sports medicine, which has been very interesting over the years.
Huh.
And then my big passion is photography too. So that's been really fun to excel at with our business, with photographing dogs in our dog vest. So that's been really fun.
And where did the two of you meet?
The internet.
Oh, really?
We are millennials through and through. Internet. So yeah, we.
So which one?
Bumble.
Bumble. Okay.
Bumble. So they got to go first. It's the best.
Yep. Okay. I have to message first, which is kind of funny. And I messaged you because of his Springer Spaniel was a puppy.
Uh-huh.
So it was a picture of Mark and his little puppy, and that's when I swiped and messaged him. Yeah. Yeah. So it all started because of Monty.
Monty.
Yeah. Montefeltro.
Oh, named after the Benelli Shack.
Benelli Montefeltro.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And luckily, you know, we would have never even been in the same sphere that we could have matched, but my family's cabin is just north of where we live today. So we were close enough on
distance.
Geographic
yeah.
To get matched on the internet. So wish we had a better story.
No, that's a fun story. There's a dog component to it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
outstanding.
Yeah.
Monty.
Cute puppy.
Monty the wingman, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How old is Monty today?
Monty is 6 years old now. He was born on St. Patrick's Day of 2018.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, fun.
Yeah.
Yep. And I have a golden. He just turned 7.
Okay.
And golden retrievers are the best dogs.
Yeah. We'll debate that later.
It doesn't sound like it's a source of marital conflict.
The sweet one and the crazy one. That's what we.
That's the duo. Yeah.
You can be sure the Springer is the crazy one.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear the story of how the company or how Tyro Dog Vest came to be. Before we start that, I am proud to recognize Purina Pro Plan as the national dog food sponsor of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, not just because they support our wildlife habitat mission, but because they have a whole team of the world's best scientists and nutritionists behind their dog food. All three of my pups, Esky, Gitchy, and Winter, all eat Purina Pro Plan, and they thrive on the recipe that is Purina Pro Plan. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Purina Pro Plan, nutrition that performs. All right, so two of you met on Bumble because of a bird dog, and you both have bird dogs of your own.
Yes.
Yep.
You get married. How did the Tyro Dog Vest story, what's your genesis story?
Yeah, so for me, you know, the upland bird hunting realm started when I was about 15 years old. Dad grabbed my brother and I and said, load up, we're going to South Dakota to hunt some birds. You know, at that time I was kind of still in my this is stupid era. Why would I want to go hang out with a bunch of old guys? You know, but thank God he took us. So we went.
What kind of dogs did you have growing up?
Springers my whole life.
Okay.
So Monty is my fourth Springer.
Okay.
So Dad's on 9, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's all I know. So, you know, there's always been temptations to switch breeds. You know, the Springers do a lot of good, but also a lot of not good at times. But yeah, so we loaded up. We went to a farm out there called Outrageous Adventures. My dad's friends all had been going there for years and, you know, literally had never shot a shotgun. Dad bought me a Benelli Montefeltro on the way there.
Really? You had to have shot one during hunter safety.
I got a apprentice license to go on that trip. It was all kind of last minute.
Oh,
so,
you said you were 14?
15, I think. 15,
okay.
Yeah. So,
wow, and your first shotgun out of the box is a Montefeltro.
A used Benelli Montefeltro. Okay. But
still,
but it was
still.
Awesome. It was cool.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. So after that, you know, we get to Mobridge, South Dakota, and this is kind of, you know, when you're doing your premium moments, this has kind of always been the one I think of. It was a, you know, we're walking the first field. They put me on the far left side as kind of a blocker. That's the way to keep the kids safe and not have him shoot anybody else. And a bird flush right off the end of my gun. And I just pulled the trigger and blew that thing to smithereens. But I've been hooked ever since. So that was kind of the origin story, if you will. And then
That's your origin story as a bird hunter.
Bird hunter, yes.
And Laura, you mentioned you're a bird hunter, too. You grew up as a bird hunter?
Just
got married, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And just grouse, mostly, because we had a lot of woods.
Okay.
Cambridge. Yep.
Yeah.
But no, Mark really introduced me to pheasants.
Gotcha.
So that's been a lot of fun. There's nothing better than a good flush, and it scares you. And then, it's fantastic. Yeah, so only the last 5-6 years for pheasant hunting.
Okay.
Otherwise, growing up in the horse pastures riding horses, they would always flush and spook the horses. So lots of pheasants. I just never hunted them until recently.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But then from there, you know, we ended up having another Springer. Loki was his name. And when he was about, you know, so then after that trip, we started hunting public land and getting more and more into it. And we bought another Springer pup and got him trained up. When he was about 15 months old, we had kind of a horror story moment with that as well. He got what's called a grass on.
Mm-hmm. Mean seed.
Yeah, and it was ugly. We think it entered in around his upper shoulder and went all the way down to the back legs. So at 15 months old, you know, you're considering all the options. We took him to the vet, and it was going to be you know, several thousand dollars for a surgery to do that. You know, at 15 months old, what do? You know, but you're already bonded. So we did end up going through with the surgery. They literally had to cut him from the front shoulder all the way down to the back shoulder, all the way down his leg, and basically fillet him wide open to remove all the infection.
Oh, my gosh.
And then sew him all up back together. So skin never comes back fully. So he had a, you know, a 3-inch diameter hole and drain tubes for months after that experience. So, you know, I was still pretty young at that time. It was pretty, you know, sad and heartbreaking, and that's kind of where the core of all of this started for us. You know, watching him go through that, we just, it was heartbreaking, really. Mm-hmm. So.
And are you guys married at this point?
Oh, no, I'm still. This is
as a youngster?
Youngster for me, yep. So, you know, it was tough, but we got him through it. He came back full strength, and thank God we went through with all of it. But after that, you know, we started trying all kinds of different vests and just, you know, really trying to find ways to protect our dogs more in the field. You know, mm-hmm. we don't even know all of the hazards a lot of the times we go out there that the dogs are exposed to. So after Loki made it about 10 years, and that's where Monty comes into the picture. So Monty is a extremely hard charging Springer Spaniel. If you've ever seen a Springer hunt in the field, you know what I'm talking about. But he came in and he was tearing vests apart left and right. So we were buying, you know, for sure a vest every season. Mm-hmm. And one season I had to buy two. It was just getting really frustrating. So I wanted the protection. I wanted the flexibility. I wanted all these different things, but I just never really had a good solution. So my engineering brain started churning and churning, and then COVID hit. And a lot of the vests that I liked were unavailable. So had a vest that was totally shredded. I had my mom gluing it back together, and then started sewing some different fabrics on there to make it a little more rigid and stiff. And then we were like, we can do better than this. There's better materials out there. My background, I know how to make these things together. I am not a sewer by any means, mm-hmm. but I know how to spec products and that kind of thing. So we got to work, and we've been, you know, we've been prototyping for several years now, trying all kinds of different materials. And then we partnered with a custom sewer down in Minneapolis. Shout out to Abby, our secret sauce. thank you, Abby, for all you've done to help us get to this point. But yeah, that's where we kind of started. We did many, many rounds of prototypes. We did six different fabrics in the main body of the vest. We've tried several different fabrics on some of the other components of the vest, and we've really feel like we've got a very good product that kind of blends the best of all of the vests that are out there on the market.
So are there's six different materials
that I prototyped.
That yep. you prototyped.
Yeah. Okay. So we went through hundreds of different materials. Gotcha. I said, nope, nope. Nope, and then settled kind of on six different final materials, and then we made prototypes of those and handed them out to friends and family, and kind of were just watching what worked, what didn't work, and then you know, settled on kind of where we're at today, and we feel very confident in the materials we've chosen.
Isn't it remarkable when you know so many stories start with, well, and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And it created a lot of problems. And you know, the engineering brain wants to solve problems. Mm.
Yeah. What I haven't heard a lot when people talk about vests is the use of a vest to prevent the grass-ons.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you've talked to countless customers.
Yes.
How often does grass-on prevention come up with a vest wearing?
More than you think. I think those of you who haven't had that happen are just purely lucky. Hmm. It doesn't take much. You know, some dogs or some certain breeds have thinner skin that are more susceptible to it. And mm-hmm. I would say definitely Loki more than Monty had just thinner skin in general. And I think he was just a little more susceptible to injury. So I think it depends on the dog, depends on the breed, but grass-ons are a very prevalent problem, and it blew us away at Game Fair when we were talking to more and more people, mm-hmm. how much we heard, yeah, I had that happen too, you know, and and my buddy, and you know, it just, injuries are a commonplace, and yeah. The grass-on isn't our exclusive thing we're targeting, but we do believe, you know, barbed wire is out there. We've had several dogs go to the vet after barbed wire injuries. You know, sticks obviously are a big hazard, and then you just never know, right? Like a lot of the public land we hunt were formerly farmsteads, and and you know, you find
old machineries to fence posts, even
rebar.
It's really
One of your famous lines, Bob, is, you know, pick your up, you know, and
pick that garbage up.
So we, you know, I feel the same way, and it is amazing what you see out there, and you just never know. That's that's where, you know, I've kind of tried to take control of, you know, of the situation and get my dog protected. You know, we are out there all wearing hundreds of dollars of gear, but our dogs are running in their birth suit, if you will, you know, and people just think of them more as a tool. But for me, my dog's always been my pet, you know, my buddy and my best friend. So when you get to that level, you know, you want them to be protected. And then obviously I want them available for the entire hunting season. We don't get as much opportunities as we'd like to go hunting. So to have them go down an opener and miss the whole season is just a bummer. So,
yeah, you guys are a relatively new business, so you, I'm putting you on the spot here, so maybe you haven't heard these stories yet, but I'm assuming you've heard from customers who have bought your vest and have said, oh my gosh, your vest saved my dog's life.
Yeah, we don't have the flagship version of that yet. I do think we'll get there, you know, but when we were in the prototype phase, my dog, we've been putting our vests on the dogs no matter what we're doing, not hunt, you know, just walking in the woods, just going out. And we were out on my our land, and Monty was running full steam through the woods and found a piece of barbed wire. Who knows how long it's been there, but it was like perfectly at a 45 degree angle, stuck into a tree and then buried underneath the ground. So it was stiff, it was rigid, it was right at chest height, and he ran into that thing full steam. And it hit him right in the chest, and it didn't even go through our top layer of fabric. And when I saw that, I was like, all right, we're ready.
Yeah, and he was running full steam. We were right there. It stopped him dead in his tracks.
We could hear it knock the wind out of him. So that was our moment where, like, yes.
And again, that was on our own property. It shouldn't even have been there. We didn't know. So that's just another... The prime reason why we want to do this is to save our dogs and save our best friends.
But we're now through pretty much our full first hunting season, and we've had literally no complaints. We've had some sizing things that we've been working through with a few folks, but we've literally not had a single return yet. So to me, to get to this point through a whole hunting season or dang near the whole hunting season, it's showing that we've got a good product and we're ready to go.
Right on. And my dogs have been wearing it. I give you two thumbs up.
Appreciate it.
Let's talk. And again, there's a variety of brands out there, and we don't need to bag on any other brands. But I'm curious. It sounds like you've tried a whole variety of them before you created Tyro. For your own purposes. What were some of the limitations or shortcomings that you encountered? Because I mentioned one, like the most frequent criticism I hear back is the underarm scraping of a dog wearing a vest that is too tight or just doesn't fit properly. The other one is there tends to be kind of a loose gap in the neck area where it actually doesn't protect their neck. It sort of funnels stuff in towards them. Those are the two things that I most commonly hear about feedback, and I'm not in the dog vest business. I'm just a, you know, a loyal customer of dog vest. Tell me what you were trying to solve.
You know, so we've tried them all. I you know, in that game fair, we heard that too. Everybody's tried several. And you end up settling on one, but it's you're never quite happy with it. You know, so I kind of break them down in a couple different categories. You got your stiff and rigid chest plate ones. So there's a couple big name brands out there that, you know, sleeveless and more adjustable. Those are nice and they do provide a lot of protection, but those vests seem to be the most susceptible to rubbing. Our Golden, we put one of them on and he stood stiff as a board, wouldn't move. He just he's like, what the heck did you just do to me?
What's your Golden's name?
Oliver.
Oliver. Okay.
The best boy.
Yeah, so that one was out. We tried those on springers as well. They just never really seemed to do the trick, and yeah, would end up rubbing them basically all the way down to the skin. There's other category, you know, we have the neoprene vest. Mm-hmm. Those don't seem to ever really work well in the upland field, so we're not duck hunters, but those guys, even duck guys that were at game fair were saying us, I don't like wearing my neoprene vest in the field. They're just a little bit overkill. They're a little too stiff. They get caught on things. That
can be a bit too warm, especially September, October.
Very hot. Yep. So, and then you can kind of get into the more like shirt style ones, if you will. Mm-hmm. These are my own self-defined categories, but the shirt ones seem to do really well in a lot of situations, but they're not durable enough and they don't always provide enough protection. Also, you know, there's some that are a little thicker that are get way too hot. So one of the favorite brands I had was made out of kind of a fleece material, which was great in the winter. It actually provided some warmth. But we had a dog, my dad's dog, have a seizure wearing one of those because he got way too overheated.
Really?
Yeah. So my dad's been paranoid about that ever since.
Wow.
So again, there's all these stories that led up to this moment, and we kind of just try to say, okay, what's the best about these kinds? What's the best about these kinds? And how do we kind of find something that kind of can fit in the middle and do all of the things that we're all frustrated about? The rubbing, we can get into some more specifics on what we've done to reduce the rubbing.
Well, that's where I want to go next. Yeah. Is tell me about the features of the Tyro that make it unique, solve what you want to solve, and let's get a sample out.
Yeah, it's just easier for me to kind of look at the vest. So one... The main thing we've done is our main body material is a four-way stretch nylon. That really helps us account for different sizes. So we want it to be a nice snug fit. Sometimes that makes people a little nervous. I think people who have bought vests don't like them to fit too tight because of the rubbing situation, but our material is very soft and provides a lot of the benefits of those more like shirt style ones. So we kind of describe it as like a fishing shirt, right?
What you're talking about is the top of the vest,
yes,
not the underside where the protection is most needed.
Yes. So that main material really helps keep the dog comfortable. It has rip stop capabilities in there as well, so that really helps prevent ripping and tearing. It does great in the water, so it's very breathable fabric. It's very much like the fishing shirts that we're all wearing now. Our main chest plate here is two types of material. We have a nylon and a material called super fabric. This is actually made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Where I found this material was I used to work in a welding shop, and our grinding aprons were made out of them. So this material is literally designed to take an impact from a grinder.
Wow.
And we implemented.
Don't try this at home.
No, kids. Do not try this at home. But we threw this material on watermelons and would hit it with the grinders on purpose to see what it would do. The guys used to wear leather aprons, and once we went to this, it reduced our injuries a ton. So literally, you know, if you sit there and hold it for forever, it will eventually go through, but it does help that initial impact and like things like barbed wire fences, it does great on. So we've got that right on the chest and then all the way underneath the underbelly. And then kind of around that, we have a very durable nylon that is similar to kind of some of those more like the adjustable Velcro sleeveless ones that I described earlier. So get that durability under the chest, that protection. And then the other big thing that we've done that really makes us unique is that we didn't connect that the main body, the shirt style, to the chest plate here. So that really frees up a lot of movement for the dog. It's a lot easier if I could show you, but the not having the shirt connected to the chest plate helps the prevent the pulling and tugging. Mm-hmm. So a lot of where the rubbing comes from that we've seen is, you know, when the dog pulls its legs back, there's wrinkles, and then when they stretch their legs out, it wants to yank and, you know, create rubbing effects. Mm-hmm. So now we have a barrier of nice soft material underneath those big heavy seams. And then also, you know, we're getting that protection as well. We also have what we call wings. There's nice of our durable super fabric that go over the armpit, and that really helps prevent the funneling effect that you've described earlier. So it's connected to the main chest, covers their inner arm, and it actually helps, you know, take some of that like cutting that you get from the grass.
Yep.
So a lot of the sleeveless shirts actually end up pushing the grass from the chest down into the armpit, and that like it's literally like paper cutting your dog's inner arms. So having the nice soft material underneath the heavy seams of the thick chest plate, and then that wing covering their inner arm really does help prevent a lot of the rubbing and tearing in the inner arms and the armpit area of the dog while they're out in the field.
Yeah, the wings piece of it is very noticeable.
Yeah.
From the first time I grabbed my hands to it, and then also as my dogs are using it, like you say, the range of motion from the lighter material not being directly connected to the chest protector is ingenious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super helpful. Because I look at the lighter material and I equate it to like a bike racer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It looks like what a hardcore bicyclist would wear, right?
Yeah.
And then as one kind of the obvious major component of the shirt piece of it, and then the chest protector is married to it, but it's not married where it's not movable.
Yeah.
It's like two pieces in together in motion.
Yeah. So Abby and I are sore. We worked really closely together, and I was kind of describing problems and having ideas of what I thought would solve the problems. And some of these tricks of somebody who really understands how to put a vest together, you know, put fabric together. She and I kind of bounced ideas off each other for months.
Hmm.
And that's where some of these more ingenious ideas came from, or, you know, not tooting my own horn there, but you know, some of the features that came out of that were some good collaboration with somebody who really understands how to put fabrics together, and then just some of the challenges that we were trying to solve. And, you know, we were initially going to put like heavy padding on the sleeve, and, you know, she was saying, no, that's going to create rubbing. And, you know, we just had a lot of really good back and forth discussion and settled on a really nice product. The other part you mentioned too, Bob, is the neck. So, we have an adjustable Velcro, on the neck, which can really help you snug that up tight. When we started, we wanted to go quite high up the neck, but one thing we found is all of us are now running e-collars, and actually that was getting in the way of a lot of that. So we have, what we tried to do is really size the vest so that it went up around the big body of the e-collar, so you're getting protection kind of up and around it, but not right at the, you know, the Adam's apple, if you will, of the dog. So that seems to be fitting most dogs extremely well, and allows people to kind of adjust that as they see fit too. So we're very proud of kind of what we've landed, and we do think we've solved some unique problems that not a lot of really no other vest on the market has solved to date. So
so when you think about challenges, I guess just in our conversations, the challenge that maybe still remains is figuring out the right size for dogs, right? That in that you're open with, like, all dogs come in, you know, from A to Z, you know, from a Cocker to a Chesapeake, right?
Even with the same dog breed, you can have such a variety of weight and size.
Yeah,
and
that height was something I totally underestimated when we went into this.
Yes.
You know, when we launched my goal, we only launched with two sizes. There was reasons for that, but we quickly learned when we got to Game Fair, we're like, oh boy, we need to expand to fit some different dogs. Like the short hairs are one of the hardest ones to size. They come in so many shapes and sizes that there's some that are so barrel chested, but have, you know, a little itty bitty waist, and then, you know, just making them fit but not be baggy but not too tight. Like, there is such a wide variety, and, you know, we've added we now have four sizes, and we believe that will cover just about every dog that you would be willing to hunt. So we didn't go to the extreme smalls, but we can fit all the way up to we had a Great Dane wearing one of our XLs at the Game Fair. That was pretty fun to see. So but yeah, we're fitting down all the way into the Cockers and the very small Springer range with our small. So we're happy with that.
So I'm assuming you know, there's some guidance on the website, right, where it help people identify what size. Walk us through how – well, first of all, tell us the website.
Yep.
And then walk us through how to figure out the right size.
Yeah, so you can find us at www.tyro, T-Y-R-O, dogvestsplural.com. And, yeah, we do have a size guide, and that will be right in the pictures of the vest. When you click on the vest, there's several pictures, and the size guide will be right there. We generally try to steer people away from using weight first, because there's a lot of ways to weigh, you know, 55 pounds, 65 pounds. So just general rule of thumb, our smalls are fitting 35 to 50 pounds. Our mediums are in the 45 to 65 pounds. Our large is in the 60 to 80 pound range. And then our XLs, we say kind of 75 plus. That can really fit just about any dog on the market or you know, that would be capable of hunting. Why we don't choose weight is, as our kind of primary, it just kind of helps people get their framework into where they're thinking. There is so much overlap. And like the deep-chested dog, for example, is not going to fit in the same vest as a dog of equivalent weight. So our most important measurement is the chest measurement right behind the legs at the deepest point.
So what are you measuring there? So
just the diameter of, so like how you would measure your own waist, you're measuring all the way the outer diameter of the deep chest.
From the back all the way around?
Yeah, so from their background all the way down and around, just like how you would do your waist, but at the deep point of the chest.
Gotcha.
For example, our Golden Oliver, he is a 65 to 75 pound dog. He can fit in both the medium and the large. The medium's a little snug on him, but that isn't a problem for us. That's too snug on a lot of the other vests. That's going to create a lot of rubbing problems. Mm-hmm. We ran him in the medium all year while we were kind of working on developing that intermediate size we came out with, which is now our large, and that. You know, that medium never really caused him any rubbing, any pain. He's the dog that stood stiff as a board in some of the other vests, and he loves it now. Like, he has finally come along where he gets pumped like the Springer does every time we bust out the vest. He knows we're going to do something fun. So on the chest measurements, you know, we do have a good guideline out there. There is some overlap that we got to work through together. But a small is in the 23 to 26 inches range. Our medium's in the 25 to 28 inch range. Our large is in the 28 to 31. And then XLs we kind of call 30 to 33 plus. The XL's got a little bit extra fabric in there that will help adjust to dogs that are a lot bigger. If you're kind of on the borders of those ranges, that's where it can get a little tricky at times. But we generally try to guide people to go a little bit more snug than a little too loose. Loose is actually better or worse in our design, that you don't want all the extra fabric flopping around, and a little snug with the four-way stretch is actually a good thing.
Right, yeah. Right. There is a fair amount of stretch, so there is some forgiveness there.
Yeah, so, and then about 85% of the dogs we've seen, Game Fair, we talked to hundreds of different dog owners, tried them on, a whole wide variety. About 85% of our dogs are fitting in a medium or a large. Mm-hmm. So those smalls and those XLs are really for the extremes. Hmm. So, both those sizes are working very well. There has been many dogs that can fit in both. And, you know, we've done a few where people bought online or said, yeah, you know what, actually I'd like to, you know, I bought a large, but I see what you're saying on getting it a little tighter. So we've done a lot of swapping them, but we think we've got that dialed in a lot better than we did when we were at Game Fair. So
how many of the vests have you sold so far? Do you know?
We're in the hundreds now, so that's exciting. You know, still relatively small. We've got over 100 vests out in the field, and like I said, not a single one has come back yet. So
I feel like this is your audition for Shark Tank.
Yeah,
it feels like it for us.
Yeah. We're doing. We're really fun. This has been kind of a side thing for us, but you know, the dream is to one day make this kind of how we make our living, which
is that awesome. That'd be cool.
Yeah. You know, love my job, current state. My boss knows we're here today. But it'd be awesome to get to a point where this could actually support us, either one or both of us, doing this full time. So,
and what do the vest cost?
Yeah, so right now we're at $119.99. That is our full retail price.
No matter what size.
No matter what size, yep. So that was just the easier way to go about that. You know, we are a small batch premium vest. So we are kind of on the higher end of the market there. Mm-hmm. But we do believe you're going to get a lot more value out of that vest than buying something a little cheaper and replacing it year after year. We so far are expecting, you know, in the 2 to 3 year range, all of our prototypes have lasted at least 3 years so far. Mm-hmm. We have even the original prototype we made is now been through 3 full hunting seasons. We still put those on the dogs just to kind of keep getting that wear and tear on them, just to see if we're, you know, what that's one of the main questions we got at the game fair. So if you're going to last longer, how long are you going to last? We don't have that full picture just yet. We don't have a formal warranty just yet, but we're working through all of that. And to that not, we, you know, the lack of returns is a good indicator that you're going to get several hunting seasons.
So I think you said her name was Abby.
Yes, Abby.
Is Abby sewing every single one of these one by one?
Yes. By hand with her team, of course. There's
American made.
Right here in Minnesota.
Right here in Minnesota. That's something I'm very passionate about. You know, I work in American manufacturing, so that is something that I said, no matter what we do, we are not going to ever send it overseas. You know, some of the fabrics, you know, there are no American made sources, but yeah, really proud to make it here in Minnesota. That is, she's got an excellent team down there, and they are literally stitched one by one by hand. No computer stitching. You know, very, very well-controlled process. And yeah, small batch at a time.
So you talked about the different materials. It looks like, so is it 4 materials?
Yeah, so now? we have 3 primary fabrics. Mm-hmm. So our main body.
Yeah,
our chest plate, and then the super fabric down.
Super fabric, and then the
reflective. Grow screen. Yep. So that's a tape that we did. It actually has a reflective quality that is, the really primary purpose of the reflective tape is for durability purposes. So a lot of our vests we saw that have sleeves, the sleeves would tear. So we put the gross grain around the bottom of the sleeve, really more for durability, but we added the reflective tape just so in a low light situation you can see your dog. So we've heard people telling us that they'll actually throw their vest on the dog walking them at night, mm-hmm. especially in the winter. Mm-hmm. So having that little bit of reflective might help a car see them coming or that kind of thing. So
have you heard of anybody using your vest outside of a hunting scenario?
Absolutely. You know, when we started this, we personally, I never put my vest on a dog when we weren't hunting, but you know, we wanted to get reps and see what's going on. And now we're wearing them whenever we go out. So just walking the land, it's nice to have it on the dog. You never know when especially with my dog running into barbed wire whenever, you know,
those
you never
crazy
know.
Springers.
Yeah, those dang springers. So, So we're wearing them all the time. And yes, we've heard several other people say, we find ourselves wearing them in more and more and more situations. Huh. And why not, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it is that comfortable for the dog, it doesn't bother them on any front. You're not getting that rubbing. You do find yourself putting them on in a lot more situations.
Yes, and at the game fair, we had a lot of people come up and saying, hey, I would really like this for hiking, mm-hmm. Even some biking folks. This is definitely a recreational use for the dogs as well, especially hunting around or hiking around hunting season too.
Sure, sure.
I mean, this blaze orange.
The blaze orange is nice.
You can't miss it.
Especially if, I think about rough grouse hunting in the woods, and having that blaze orange helps you find a dog on point a little bit quicker. Even if you got the GPS, you can see that orange.
Yeah, that's a totally underrated thing to getting them into full blaze. Mm-hmm. You know, especially in even pheasant hunting or grouse hunting, especially just being able to see them that little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to wearing, going to the blaze orange vests, I was always calling my dog back off of birds, right? Like he's not that far away. I haven't seen him in 5 minutes, but he's only, you know, 10 yards to my left. I just haven't been able to see him through the cattails or whatever we're stomping through. That is a majorly underrated part of having a nice blaze orange vest. So that is a big benefit. And then, you know, we live up in deer country, right? So like having the dog in orange just say it was to go out or run onto the neighbor's land, just having them in blaze just makes you feel that much better.
A little level of comfort.
Yeah. So especially the golden, you know, our golden's a field bred golden who's very brown, right? Mm. Like, you know, reddish brown. And
could it
look like a deer? You never know, right? So like just having that extra level of comfort, especially when we're out in the woods,
right,
is a nice thing, just even if we don't have guns in our hands.
Tyro. Where does the name come from?
Yeah, we
do. We tell them.
Yeah, we got it. No, so
there's a story here.
There is a story. So we were, names was the hardest thing. I'm an engineer. I'm not creative. I'm not the artist of the family. And you know, we brainstormed names for months and months and months. And you know, all of a sudden it came to me. One of my favorite WMAs in Western Minnesota is called Tyro WMA.
Huh.
So it's in Tyro Township. Yeah. Giving away my secret favorite spot to hunt.
Hot spot.
But there's been just a lot of memories along the way of hunting that field. We generally try to go there for our opening morning field. And when we were thinking about it, I was like, well, what about it like a WMA? And then, yeah, the first one that came to mind was Tyro. And it's got a nice ring to it. Yeah. And yeah, we set, like once field, I said that out memories. Loud, I was like, yep, that's it. And then, the logo we've been working on a lot. We partnered with a friend of Laura's who helped us develop the logo, and we're really proud of it. Think it's got a nice sharp look.
Yeah, it does. It obviously it looks like a pheasant,
yes,
but there is a medical
shield
look to it too.
So, yeah, she did a really nice job kind of taking
some of the
themes. We're
trying to protect your dog, but we love pheasants.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we're really proud of that one. So
say the website again.
www.tyrodogvests.com. So,
and is there anywhere that a person can look at, feel, try on the Tyro dog vest right now, or is it purely website?
So right now we are exclusively online. We are actively looking for retailers out there who'd be interested in a wholesale model. We are not going to be big box retail folks, not anytime soon anyway. But we would love to partner with breeders or vets or small local sporting goods store kind of opportunities or guides or any of that kind of stuff where we'd be happy to talk to anyone about wholesale opportunities. Right now we're working with Monty's Breeder Whiskey River Gun Dogs, Coyland Creek, which is a game farm real close to where we live, Wings North, and in Pine City, Minnesota. We've talked to a lot about doing that as a wholesale model. We don't have anywhere that we've made any formal agreement with, but we've given a number of samples out to those kinds of to folks to help kind of promote it and do exactly that, is allow people to kind of try them on. It is something that once you see it fit, you're going to be a lot more confident about buying it. You know, at the game fair, we saw a number of different people come up, try it on and say, yeah, you know, that's kind of expensive. Oh, and then walk away.
We had so many people.
And then come back, right back and say, actually, you know what, we'll take one. So we even had people do that the next weekend. So that was really exciting to see that. I think once you get it on and see it fit, you're going to go, okay, yeah, there is something different with this vest. There is something, you know, that's going to solve some of my concerns in the past. And I think part of where people go, that's a lot, is they're already factoring in, I'm going to have to buy one each year. So that's a big part of where we're adding some value there. And
one trip to the veterinarian covers this.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the way we look at it too. So yeah, you just, literally, you can't even walk into the vet anymore for less than like what, 80?
$400?
Yeah,
like you, the Twin Cities, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes. Yeah. Our you know, our vets are just to walk in the door, you're at $75, yeah. $80. So yeah. You know, it isn't even, it's a no brainer for us. You know, one thing that we do offer too is any of our online sales, we're happy to take the vest back if you're unhappy with the fit. We've done that with a number of different people. You know, my family is right here in Matamidi, Minnesota. They have helped me go meet up with a person and try the other sizes on. We're up in rural Wisconsin. But we've had a number of people say, yeah, actually I want to, I went size up thinking I wanted a little looser. Can I actually switch? Sure. Yes. So long as it is still in new condition. So you take it out in the field, I can't take it back, but, happy to work through that initial fit process with people, and, shipping stuff is pretty easy nowadays. So, had a lot of people where, you know, especially some of the folks that bought a Game Fair, once we offered the new size, came back and said, actually, can I go to a different one?
And I think when I came by your booth at Game Fair, you guys were virtually sold out.
Yes.
I think that was like day two
yeah.
or something. I mean, that was a really successful show for you.
Yeah,
right?
That was a funny story.
It was incredible.
Yeah, so we went to dinner the night before Game Fair started with my family, and I asked everybody, how many vests do you think we can sell? How many did you say, Laura?
Like two.
she's the pessimist.
Yeah. Do you remember how many you brought?
Yeah, we had 200.
200,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were, again, that was, there were some sizing challenges.
And there were two sizes at this point,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah, so, and the large, again, that, it was large at the time. It's now our XL. It takes a really big dog. I had mental images of big labs was the problem I was trying to solve, and I figured the rest of most all dogs could fit into our medium. So once we saw kind of the, there was just a lot of the dogs that were kind of right on the line of where we made our medium, and we came out with what is now our large. Had we had that at the Game Fair, we could have probably doubled what we sold that that weekend. So, but yeah, we crushed it at Game Fair. It was beyond any of what we all thought was possible. You know, we obviously didn't even bring enough inventory to support what we thought we could do. So, yeah, really proud of how that all went, and it's only been positive feedback all the way up to this point. So we've had several people come back and buy one for their other dog, or
and a lot of word of mouth too,
yeah.
which is one of the best feelings too, because that person has to like it in order to refer and say, hey, check out Tyro Dog Vest.
Unsolicited testimonial.
Yes. Right? And there was a few people, you know, we were, when we had some of the fit challenges at Game Fair, we took a number of people's names down, and then we realized we had lost a page of like people's names, because a guy had called me and said, hey, you know, when were you going to come out with your new sizes? I've been waiting patiently. And, yeah, then once we ended up finding the list of people's names, and you know, there was people that literally had waited from Game Fair, which is in early August, all the way till we just got them available right before hunting season, and they remembered us long enough to come back 2.5 months later and say, hey, can we get your vest,
awesome,
even without us prompting them to do so. So that was extremely exciting to see people like that excited about it.
So we met at Game Fair, and we traded a couple emails, and I haven't talked to you guys in months, right?
Yeah.
And when we talked, it sounded like you were going to get a booth and join us in Kansas City at Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Is that coming to fruition?
Yes, we are excited. We are officially paid and booked, and we will be there at Pheasant Fest this year. It's my first time at Pheasant Fest. I've just
really never even went to the one in the Twin Cities.
No, yeah, I don't know how or why. We you know, years didn't work line up, and where I was, you know, got off at college or whatever.
Sure.
So I've been an adamant Game Fair goer. Actually, Loki won the dock jumping contest 1 year. But
congratulations, Loki.
Yeah. So we will be there. Our booth is 1,118, and we're not too far from the Path to the Uplands stage. One other piece of our business is we are an authorized dealer of Rec Specs. So the dog goggles, a lot of people have heard of those as well.
Yeah.
And it partners obviously very well with what we're doing. So we'll have full stock of Rec Specs at the Game Fair as well. So if you're interested in both the vest and the goggles, come on in and try them on. I think once people get them on their dogs and see how well it does, it's a pretty easy sell. I'm an engineer, not a salesman, and we were having a pretty high conversion rate at Game Fair, getting people to buy the vest.
Say your booth number again.
1,118.
Okay, 1,100 near the Path
to the Upland stage.
All right, so I will ask you know, anything that I missed.
Yeah.
In closing thoughts before we go there. I want to thank OnX, a supporter of On the Wing podcast and a national sponsor of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. In the show notes, there is a link that'll take you to Onyx, and you can enter the code PFQF and get 20% off your subscription to Onyx Hunt, and Onyx will make a donation back to Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's wildlife habitat mission. And I think about Onyx, you know, when I first started working at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, it wasn't even possible, right? Then probably 5 years in, they were a little business, had one booth at SHOT Show.
Yeah.
And now they're one of the largest, most significant supporters of conservation in the country.
Yeah,
you know? And
it's awesome.
I hope the best for you guys, too.
Thank you so much.
It's pretty cool to, you know, have this dream and go chase the dream. So congratulations to both of you for, you know, not only chasing the dream, but doing something that helps save dogs and protect dogs. Yes. That's really cool.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Yeah. We're so excited. And we want to protect your dog because we love our pets and we want to see them safe out in the field.
Yeah, right on. Mm-hmm. Well, what did we miss? Were there any questions that I should have asked you that I haven't?
No, I think we've covered just about everything we wanted to cover on the vest, and we're looking forward to hearing from more folks and getting them on more dogs.
Okay. You will be at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. This podcast is coming out right before the event. You can check out pheasantfest.org or quailclassic.org. It'll take you to the same website. You can see a list of our exhibitors. Find out where Tyro dog vests are on the map to go meet Mark and Laura in Kansas City and put your own hands on the Tyro dog vest. Thank you for coming over here and joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. You know, this has been a huge honor to be here. When we set out, this was a goal I set and told Laura multiple times, I want to be on that podcast. And here we are. It was by chance, but I really do appreciate you having us on. And, you know, I hear you always thanking people coming on, but I wanted to take a moment and just say thank you to all here at Pheasants Forever. You know, I've been a long time supporter. Really appreciate you do as a guy who doesn't have a huge network of other upland hunters that I'm friends and family with. We, you know, this has always been something that helps me feel part of the upland community, and, you know, all the work you guys do for public land is tremendous, and many generations will benefit.
Well, and that is one thing I wanted to talk about. You mentioned that you have worked with a farm bill biologist of ours, Cody Tromberg, in Wisconsin, to do some habitat work too.
Yeah. You know, that was a fun project for us. Some 80 acres of land came available just a few miles from our house after I sold my house to go move up with Laura, and we went and saw it, and we said, yeah, we got to have it. So we bought 80 acres up there and had 14 acres of what was planted corn. I looked at what the farmer was going to give me to rent and plant more corn, and I was just like, what's the point? I've always wanted my own pheasant field, and reached out to the local NRCS group and Cody, and ended up enrolling the 14 acres in a program called EQIP. It was a great deal for me. We're coming in up on year three of growth. We live not too far from the game farm, so dream come true when I shoot a pheasant in my own field. So if you're ever considering doing those projects, I couldn't recommend it enough. On it was smooth, it was easy, didn't take much of my own time, and now I have my own chunk of conservation. So really proud of that.
That's awesome. And have you seen wild roosters as in addition to the escapees?
Not yet. Okay. So
close to our house, though, yes, but not yet.
They're around. There are wild birds up in northwest Wisconsin, believe it or not. But yes, we've seen them in that area. We just haven't found any in the field at any particular moment just yet. But that
just a matter
coming.
Of time.
It's
just
coming.
A matter of time. Yes. So. It was a great deal, and like I said, couldn't recommend those programs enough. It was great working with Pheasants Forever and the NRCS, and it was really actually a financially beneficial thing for me as well. So.
Yeah, sweet. Well, thank you for doing this. I think about like you mentioned, you'd heard my story of Izzy, my pup that passed away.
Yeah,
and that's hard to deal with.
Yeah,
and you know, seeing people creating dog vests to protect the pups that we love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, at least I can take a little bit of satisfaction that her legacy lives on, and maybe some dogs will be helped as a result of this. So thanks for doing
that. That's the
goal. Thank you.
Tyro Dog Vest. You can find it at tyro.com.
Dog Vest. Yep.
Is it the website again? Tyro
Dog Vests.
.com.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Tyro Dog Vest. .com.
Yep.
All right. Mark Flom, Laura Flom, joining me at the headquarters, Tyro Dog Vests. You can find them also at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic coming up in Kansas City. Check them out. They're a independent, family-owned business made in America.
Yes.
Very cool. All right. I'm Bob St. Pierre reminding you to always follow your dog. Something good will rise. Thanks, folks.